Okay, so you're saying that the point wasn't to take over.
Yeah, the point wasn't to take over. The point was, if we emerged as leaders, fine. Let, you know, just if you emerged as a leader, fine. You know, but we could all work together for the same cause. You know, we all have the same problems of people who are getting paid low wages. We all have the problems of dropouts in our schools, and we all have this, you know, we all have to deal with the same problems of drugs, alcohol, gangs, all that stuff that we needed to work out all belong to all of us, and we should all be able to participate and help to make it better for all of us. I don't know why men are so
well, what were exactly the problems? Just like that, seemed like there was a division of labor that women only could do a certain kind of work, you know, within the organization. I mean, what were?
I think the guys in the movement expected us to be like their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't stop to look that we were in a social activist.
Do you think their mothers were really that way? I'm sure
no,
some of their mothers were not.
In fact, Armando's mother is not that way.
Mm-hmm.
Armando's mother is very vocal and very she takes charge kind of lady, and but they all have their ideas of what a woman should do. A woman should be barefoot, pregnant, tied to the kitchen stove.
Well, do you think this had to do with being in the Chicano movement? That they were redefining what the Chicano male would be and what the Chicano woman was like? And
no, you know, I think men in general, and I think if you take it to the Black movement or you take it to the white women's movement, men think that they should be the leaders and that they should be the ones to make the statements and they should be the ones to write the papers and that the women should be the ones to type the papers and the women should be the ones to serve the coffee on the side and to make everything nice and comfy for them when they come home from the war.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just a general female-male thing, you know, but since I can't worry about everybody else. I worry about us, and that's what we were dealing with, Chicanos, and I think Chicanos felt the same way. You know, a lot of them came from that household where the woman was very subservient. Certainly in my family they were subservient. I mean, my great-grandmother taught us well. You don't sit down until the man has eaten, and you know, you serve him hand and foot, and don't ever let a man sit at the table if everything is not at his fingertips, God forbid. You know, don't ever give him two tortillas at a time. You have to stand there and heat them one by one. And I think a lot of those guys in the movement came from families who dealt in the same manner and expected us, even though we were involved in a whole different organization, even though it was a whole century later, you know, that we should still be doing those back room kind of subservient things, you know, and that we should think the way he did, and that we should only say the same things that he did, and that we should have his babies and butter his tortilla, and you know.
So then, what about? So, do you think that the sexual politics inside the organization affected this woman going? I mean, did women feel like that they were just being used?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think the fact too that a lot of the guys. It's the whole difference between men and women too. You know, girls go to college young, naive. Maybe they fall in love with somebody, and so they go to bed with somebody, and they think that this guy's going to marry them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in his mind, it's a fast, easy piece. He's going to do her for a couple of weeks, or a couple, maybe even a couple of months, and then drop her. You know, he has no intention of marrying her or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, then you pick up the pieces and maybe it happens again, and then after a while that you get a reputation, or else you don't go to bed with the guys, and then they think that you're some kind of a dyke, or that you're holding out just because, or that you want to be a guy, or you know, that you think like a man. You know, all kinds of weird kinds of things.
I mean, wouldn't it make it really difficult to be in the organization where you felt like you might be compromised if you slept with the people in the organization, the guys, but then on the same hand, it was kind of expected of you?
Yeah, it is. It was really weird. You know, you damned if you did and damned if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be no winning in that kind of a situation. definitely, you know. And then they tried, the men would talk about liberation and talk about freedom and talk about only when they wanted to get you in bed.
So you don't think that they would,
but they don't, they didn't really believe it. They didn't really believe it.
This is what you meant before about using the movement for your own personal gain.
And I think a lot of it, well, yeah, I think so. I think a lot of them were really, and it's really funny. I don't know. Like, Armando never made it out of Long Beach. From what I understand, I think he's still working on a PhD or working on another PhD. This man has been a student since before 1968. I mean, he's got a family, and but he never left Long Beach. You know, he never did anything with any of the. He didn't become a leader. You know. Frank didn't do anything with his life either. He stayed in Long Beach, and I think he was into drugs for a long time, and I think that's what dragged him down, and he died. Others, I think, I'm trying to remember if anybody of that group ever became anything. Really outstanding, you know, as far as really doing something.
It seemed like it was supposed to be the training ground.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a training ground. It was supposed to be, you'd think that a lot more of those of us who went through that era would have maybe become.
What were you supposed to come?
I don't know. I thought, you know, maybe a politician or, you know, be somewhere where you could really make a difference. Mm-hmm. But we're all kind of just regular kind of mediocre types. You know, nobody ever did anything. You know, there was Frank Cruz, but of course Frank Cruz was already a professor when he came to Cal State Long Beach, and then, you know, he got on television and made money for himself. Frank Sanchez. Things went well for him. He now owns 4 McDonald's and a Blockbuster Video. I mean, he's very wealthy, and he puts his money where his mouth is, though. You know, he contributes to a lot of causes that help the community.
What are the women doing?
What are the women doing? Well, Martha's working for the congressman still. I'm working at the CSU. I guess Anna's working. Where is she working? She's working at Metropolitan State Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Caltrans.
Caltrans. Mm-hmm. What's she doing at Caltrans?
She's the director of public affairs, community relations, something like that. / community affairs.
Interesting, because a little while before that, she was at Metropolitan State Hospital. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a dingy place for her to be.
Because she had an MSW.
Uh-huh. But nobody's really doing anything out there, you know what I mean? Nobody's really, except for Corrine. Corrine is the director of El Proyecto del Barrio, mm-hmm. and she's doing stuff to help other women, and Corrine stuck with it. Have you talked to Corrine?
Mm-mm. I will. Help.
You should talk to Corrine.
So what happened to Corrine? She was in it, and then said she left. She graduated, or
they graduated. Yeah, and I think that's what happened. Yeah.
She graduated. No, she said Corrine was out before this happened. Before the paper happened.
Yeah, Corrine was out before the paper happened. I think Corrine was even older. Not much, but maybe by a semester. Mm-hmm. So she was already gone. And I don't know where she went. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. She was working for, it was a little place, it was, they used to have an office, you know where Teleco is? Mm-mm. It's on Olympic Boulevard and, where Tamayo's restaurant is. Well, there's Teleco on Olympic, and right across the street there's this Tamayo's restaurant that the property was bought by Teleco. But on top of it, Corrine used to run this organization. It was for women. And she has been working for women since she left. Mm-hmm. She's really been involved in an actual organization that does stuff to train and help young women become somebody, you know, get either training for a job or mental counseling, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And now she's working for the Proyecto del Barrio, or she's the executive director, so she has a lot of little projects underneath her, mm-hmm, that still do things for the community. San Fernando. Mm-hmm. And I guess during that time, did she go back to San Fernando? God, I can't remember the name of that organization. Anyway, but she's been doing that for the past 20 years, 20, 30 years. I mean, how long has it been?
Okay, so how did women end up getting together? Just because Anna and Corrine went around to other people?
Well, that, and I think...
Were they initially organized as women inside Matcha?
No. Mm-hmm. No. I think, you know, we just saw what they did, mm-hmm, to her, mm-hmm, and then... I think maybe we all had our little incidents, mm-hmm, that caused us to say, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. Well, you sit around a table with guys and you make a suggestion, mm-hmm, and they poo-poo it. Mm-hmm. But after discussion and going around in circles for a couple of hours, then later on another guy just out of the clear blue sky makes the same suggestion you did, and then they say, oh, that's a great idea, let's do it. You know, as a woman, you're thinking, if I'd been a man and said that when I said it, mm-hmm, they would have taken it more seriously. Yeah, you wouldn't have to sit there for the next 2 hours listening, mm-hmm, to their bullshit. So I think a lot of us had those kinds of little incidents that happen, and it pisses you off.
Okay, so how'd the paper get started then? Do you remember? How'd you get the funding?
God, we must have gotten, because we did it on newsprint and everything.
Yeah, it was a newspaper.
Yeah, it was a newspaper.
It was printed.
That I don't remember. I remember that they asked me to, they said they needed somebody to write, and this was the name of the, they gave me the name of the newspaper and said, write something.
Do you remember a meeting where, I guess, Anna started looking for the history of women, Mexicanas, generally, and found this book on women in the suffrage movement during the 1910 revolution, and she brought the book and everybody read it, and you know, people were just blown away to see that, you know, here were women doing the same things they're doing forever. Do you remember that meeting or that
No.
notion or okay.
No.
Because I mean, this is supposedly that the newspaper is named after this group,
yeah, it's right here.
Yeah. This is a Cuauhtémoc underground newspaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suffrage newspaper.
It was a political organization that they had, yeah. 1917, around there, 1910.
So you were just asked to write, and you started writing.
Maybe I read the same book. Who knows? You know, I just. So much of it is a blur. So much of it I wanted to forget.
Yeah.
That I just kind of stuffed it down and didn't want to think about it ever again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of bizarre because when I came to work here, I thought I had I said, oh, damn, you know, I'm going to go back and live in Long Beach. All right, work in Long Beach. But nobody will know me. Shit, everybody knows me. Everybody.
People are finding you there.
Yeah, you know, I know you're like, yeah, weren't you late? Yeah, get away from me. I was trying to forget all that. So a lot of it is still a blur.
Okay, so I think, I mean, so far as what I can find is that the paper was funded by Senior Citizens Group in Norwalk.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Cindy Onesto, and I was looking at this, Cindy Onesto was, I think what may have happened was Cindy Onesto was involved with the group, and she lived in Hawaiian Gardens, and the address is the Hawaiian Gardens address. Sylvia Castillo and her mother and this woman, Chiki Quijano, who was her cousin, Sylvia's mom was involved with a lot of organizations in Norwalk and Artesia High School, and we had kids that we used to work with at Pioneer High School and stuff. But I'm pretty certain that through Mrs. Castillo is probably where the initial funding came from. And maybe that organization, maybe somehow she had influence over it to give them the money for it.
I mean, I guess that it was like a mutualistas organization, like older senior citizens retirement.
No, yeah, you were talking about the senior citizens group and how it was funded. I know that nobody ever paid the subscription. It's kind of sad.
Okay, so what do you remember about going to conferences? Did you go as a group? So the group was a women's group, or was it just an
event? When we went to San Diego, it was just me and Anna. Mm-hmm. I think Anna and I and maybe Sara, three of us, went together from Long Beach to San Diego, and Anna was presenting.
So when was the San Diego? Was it this? I have kind of a chronology of things that I found. I mean, things I found over the time. So maybe, I mean, do you remember any of the going to any of these, or do you remember other things besides these? Or was that San Diego conference on the bottom?
That was it.
Yeah. So it was 1970. What was the San Diego conference? Was nothing memorable? Just that she was presenting. So you were a group of women, or just a group of people?
See, because when we went to this San Diego caucus, we went just to the Chicana caucus, and Anna was there. I was feeling really sick that day. They had a teatro. Teatro was really good. And I, you know, listened to Anna make her pitch, and basically is what we were asking at that time, was that if we're going to have Chicano, Chicano studies, that we should have Chicano studies, and that, you know, our history should be involved, should be a part of it also, and that we needed to have positive role models for other Chicanas, and that we needed to have that as a part of Chicano studies. Where are we now on that?
Well, supposedly it's a requirement of Chicano studies to have a women's studies class, Chicana class. At Long Beach, the class never gets offered, though. I mean, it gets offered, like, it was offered this semester, and everyone was enrolled, got disenrolled because of the budget. So it's not taught every semester, and it's not taught even, I think it's every few years, but that's just at Long Beach. I mean, there's other schools that have better programs, you know, and better, you know, as far as keeping up with that, you know. So did you consider yourself a group of women, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely did.
You had meetings regularly.
Yeah, we had meetings.
But you stayed in Metcha at the same time.
And because we wanted to be a part of Metcha. I mean, we didn't want to be separate. We wanted to be with But we felt that being, that just being with without having a woman's organization, that nobody was taking us seriously.
Mm-hmm. So you had to do double organizing, double meetings.
Double meetings, yeah. Because we had to go to the women's meetings, and then we had to stick together and go to the regular meeting and participate.
Mm-hmm. A lot of meetings.
At that point, though, what I did was I dedicated myself to the women's group. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like Ross Perot. After it doesn't go the way I want it to go, then I pick up my marbles and go home. A lot of stuff going on. You know what I found really interesting on this stuff? There are no dates.
Yeah, I had to go I had to find. It's that's true of all early newspapers like that. I mean, not all, but you know, in the Chicano movement so far, and all of La Gente, all of La Raza paper. I mean, you're like, where's the date? You have to really be, you know, you have to be really ingenuitive to find dates on them. And
how bizarre! You know, I looked through all three of them, and another one. Unless the only thing that led you to give you an idea was the conferences. You know, they had dates on them, and so you figure, okay, well, this one had to come up a couple months before.
So do you remember organizing the regional conference before Houston? Were you guys at the Cal State LA conference?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't remember going.
Should I shut this while you're looking over?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I think that she could have been an assembly person. I think that she, and she had a lot more smarts, and I think she could have been more more of a how can I say this nicely without, well, then don't quote me in public about this, because Gloria is very divisive. You know, she's very, you know, you're either with her or you're against her kind of a person. I think that Anna would have been able to work a lot better. I think she would have made a better politician. But, you know, I think these things just kind of... And I guess she has... There are those who lay the path so that others can make the road or whatever, I don't know. And she did a lot of laying the groundwork for... the women that came after. And, you know, not alone, because there were a lot of people working also, but it's kind of sad that these kinds of experiences cause people to retreat instead of go forward. And I think maybe at that time our odds were so much more against us. You know, the men were so much more vocal. That it just stopped us. I'm sad.
So what kind of effect do you think the newspaper had?
Oh, we were ridiculed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody on campus, all that, you know, all that slop and all that ridiculous feminist bullshit and ha 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 he 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 ho ho ho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here come the feminists, you know, they're trying to be white women. You know, just it was hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, all the rest of us, because to begin with we were having a hard time fitting into campus, and the only place that we did fit in, we were being ridiculed for having our own beliefs. It's really a hard place to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much safer to be in Ballet Folklorico than it is to be at the forefront of a political dialogue against everything that, or not against, because, they just were not seeing the point.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they didn't want women to be in charge. They didn't want women to be partners.
So you don't think it had an effect? Do you think it had an effect on other women?
I think it had an effect on other women, but at the same time, if you're not secure in yourself to be able to say, yes, I believe in this, and I'm going to become part of this group, and I'm going to work with these women towards the same goal, then the other, the ridicule and all these other male-inspired comments affect you because mm-hmm. you're not yeah. secure within yourself.
Well, you definitely you haven't decided. You had to be brave to be part of
and that. I think that that the newer women were definitely inspired by the men, mm-hmm. more so than by the women. Mm-hmm. Because, as I said the other day when you came, I think a lot of the girls that came onto campus early on came with one goal in mind, and that was to get married to a college-educated man. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't get married to a college-educated man if the college-educated man is talking about all these silly women, even though you believe some of this stuff. You know, they're not gonna take you seriously as a girlfriend if you believe in all this quote unquote feminist bullshit.
So you guys didn't call yourselves feminists?
Oh no. In fact, we were fighting that. We didn't want to be white women. We didn't want to be feminists. We wanted to be women Chicanas in our own right, given equal partnership. You know, but it is a feminist line. Mm-hmm. It's very much the same feminist line that all feminists have. You know, we want to be equal partners. You have to move over. I was reading a lot of this stuff, and I was thinking, you know, we were asking them to let us help. Give me a break. Get out of my way. I'm doing it, you know? You know, but I think, you know, now I can say that, but this was the first, and this was, you know, we were taught to be subservient, and we were taught to be submissive, and, you know, we were asking for permission in a lot of these things. It's really funny.
Does it seem compromising?
No. Not at all. I was looking at this thing. We did a lot of stuff. We had a through EOP. We had a PIMPA program at Cal State Long Beach.
So who went?
Oh, they came. They got out of the joint and came to.
They came.
They came to us. Yeah. No, they came to us, which was a big mistake. Oh God. One of the houses there was a bunch of guys that lived in the house that used to call it the Brown House. But the Brown House got converted into a halfway house, and they had about 6 Bintos actual. And I guess they had been in there for heroin use in the halfway house. And then all those guys broke our hearts because they came out spouting all this stuff, and they wanted, you know, there was one guy who was a straight A student. I mean, just perfect straight A. Mm-hmm. Turned around and just, you know, starts popping heroin again. It's really sad. I think we were disillusioned because we were, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, I don't know, you're gonna help somebody besides them, in spite of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were doing this good deed to take these tecatos mm-hmm. and channel them into the mainstream. And in the end, what happened, they all went back to the joint or died. It was one of the guys who was Juan, I forgot his last name. Man, that guy, a poet, mm-hmm. just a wonderful poet. Mm-hmm. Just went and OD'd and then just OD'd. So we were all, in that regard, we were all very naive and very, childlike, I think, in our efforts to quote-unquote save these people. It's kind of we even had one woman, Pinta, live with myself and Rosa. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. Her parole officer would come, and she would have the parole officer. Rosa would pee for her.
Oh.
Because of the drug test, uh-huh. and the parole officer would come, and this woman was pregnant. Mm-hmm. She gave birth to this child. She came back to the house. The baby, Rosa and I, were dragging this kid, a 2-day-old baby, around because this woman was in jail. Or she would, actually, no, she wasn't in jail. She would leave for 2-3 days at a time. After the baby was born.
Was she supposed to go to school? Was she supposed to go to school?
Well, no, she was supposed to be going to school, but then she got caught with drugs. But because she was pregnant at the time, they let her stay outside until the baby was born. After the baby was born, she was supposed to make arrangements with welfare people so that they could take the baby and or to hand the baby over to her mother. Mm-hmm. And then she was supposed to go to the joint. Well,